hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm very excited to teach you guys all about red light therapy. And I'm going to interview the founder of BioLight, so Dr. Michael Balkowski. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Kay. Appreciate it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you into the red light world.
Sure. So I'm a practicing physical therapist. I have my own practice in Missoula, Montana, where I provide a variety of kind of unique treatments relative to physical therapy. So what I specialize in is dry needling, cupping, blood flow restriction training, and then earlier this year I added hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So really what I'm looking for is to provide any sort of treatment that will give my patients, you know, the quickest results, you know, real results. And so really that's where I stumbled upon red light therapy. I'm constantly reading. I'm just a voracious learner and reader. And so when I was looking through books, Amazon suggested this red light therapy book. So got it, read it, and the information was very interesting. A lot of parallels with dry needling in the sense that they both reduce inflammation and improve circulation.
Wait, tell us what dry needling is. I don't even know what that is.
So I was just going to say the one thing I learned, if anything, from the dry needling course is that almost all pain, there's some sort of combination of too much inflammation, which is sensitizing the nerves, meaning it takes less of a stimulus to send a pain signal to your brain. So if we can reduce the inflammation and then quote unquote sensitize your nerves, then we can normalize the pain threshold. So, and then same thing with circulation. If your muscles are too tight, your nerves aren't getting enough oxygen or blood flow, they're going to be more likely to send pain signals to your brain. So again, if we can reverse the inflammation and improve the circulation, we're going to get a lot of pain relief, you know, for dry needling. Mm-hmm. And so dry needling is you use the exact same type of needles as you would with acupuncture, but the treatment philosophy is completely different. I guess from a treatment perspective, the needles go much deeper, you know, compared to acupuncture. Acupuncture is quite superficial. Don't really go into the muscles much, I believe. Whereas with dry needling, I'll go all the way to the bone with almost every needle, which sounds terrible, but you're not going to feel that much unless you have an issue. So if you have a healthy tissue and you don't really have any problems, sometimes you might not even feel the needle. But it's when your tissue's not healthy, you have a lot of inflammation or tight muscles, poor circulation, that you're going to get these intense, dull, achy sensations. But it's those dull, achy sensations that are telling your body that you need this and it's going to lead to relief. Mm-hmm. So again, this whole dry needling is what people really come to see me for my physical therapy practice. And reading about red light therapy, same mechanisms, you're reducing inflammation, you're improving circulation, so you're going to get all these amazing health benefits, but also on top of that, red light therapy is specifically stimulating your mitochondria. And also, you know, what the research has, you know, shown in the last 5 or so years is that our mitochondria, the health and the ability for it to function really determines our overall health and wellness and longevity. So if you have something as simple as light, red and near infrared light, that can optimize the health and functioning of your mitochondria, that's why it can lead to all these amazing benefits from hair health, skin health, athletic performance, sleep, reduce anxiety, depression, heart health, joint health, bone health. I mean, it goes on and on and on because there's literally mitochondria, thousands and thousands of mitochondria in every single cell of our body except for red blood cells. So the point being, every one of our cells can benefit from red light therapy, you know, outside of red blood cells, which is why it can lead to all these amazing benefits.
So literally it affects every single organ system in our body, as you said. Yeah, so red light has been proven, scientifically proven, to improve hair health, to take dormant cells and wake them up and put them into active states. And it's great for your skin. It's great for sleep. So how does a consumer know exactly what type of red light therapy to get? Because you can go on Amazon and Alibaba and be sold like a red light face mask, which could be crap with the wrong wavelength of light or even damaging wavelength. So how would you advise consumers, like, what's the right wavelength and how do you know you're getting it?
So currently the research is showing you know, the most optimal wavelengths in the red is 660 nanometers, near infrared is 850 nanometers. And so really all of the main companies, they've got that locked in, they've got the correct wavelengths. At the same time though, red is red is red, meaning as long as it's in the red spectrum, your mitochondria are gonna respond to that. As long as it's in the near infrared spectrum, your mitochondria are gonna respond to that. So while those wavelengths are probably the most optimal, you're likely gonna benefit from anything within those two spectra. Another thing, like one of the more important things to consider, because this is where the variants start to come in from company to company, product to product, is the light irradiance, or really the power of the light. And that's gonna determine how well the light can penetrate into your tissue. Also, for people who are buying smaller devices, the light irradiance is very important, because if you have a higher light irradiance, more power from the light, it allows you to stand further back from the device, which allows the light to spread so you can cover more of your body at once without sacrificing light power or light penetration. And especially for treating anything deeper than the skin, which is gonna necessitate near infrared, because red only treats the skin layer, it doesn't get deeper than the skin, whereas near infrared penetrates up to 2 inches into the body. The light irradiance is very important, because if you're treating the bone or the joints or even the muscles, heart, any organs, you need something that's powerful enough to, you know, penetrate deep enough to stimulate those cells and those organs. So the light irradiance is very important. Most of the main larger companies have above 100 milliwatts per centimeter squared. That's kind of the label there. Some of them are up to 125. Our newer devices are up to 150. So again, if you're closer, you're going to get better penetration depth, but again, it allows you to be farther away, allow the light to spread. So it makes your treatments more efficient if you're trying to do your whole body or just different spot treatments. And then secondly is kind of the safety specifications, which is paramount if you're going to invest in a health and wellness product. And so the two main ones that you want to look at for health or for safety would be the light flicker and then the EMF emission. Uh-huh. So yeah, we can get into that quickly too, if you want. Light flicker, as far as I've seen on the market, no other company's taken this into consideration. And just like you and I are looking onto our computer screens and all of us are looking on TVs and iPads and phones, you know, all of these pieces of technology have a flicker rate, and it's so high that our naked eye can't perceive it, but our eyes and our brain can, you know, at a very deep level. And a high flicker rate is bad for your eyes, because over time it's going to cause eye strain. Just like people who work under fluorescent lights, you might even have that visible flicker, which is even more detrimental. But the light flicker is going to lead to eye strain and eye issues over time. And that's kind of the thing about light flicker, is you might not perceive it right away. It's an insidious issue. It's not going to show up maybe for months or even years afterward. But again, the more you expose yourself to light flicker, the more likely you're going to give yourself eye strain, fatigue. And that's where it gets into the brain, as headaches, migraines, and then even mood or behavioral disorders, as shown with constant exposure to light flicker. So our panels have a flicker rate of 1 hertz, which is 1 flicker per second. Most of the other devices on the market have 40 to 60 hertz up to 100 hertz. So you can imagine that much flicker per second is significantly higher than the 1 hertz that we have. So that's a big one to take into consideration. If you're looking to look on other websites, like you said, Alibaba or these other red light therapy companies, they don't even have light flicker listed in the specs, because they probably haven't even taken it into consideration yet. And then another one is EMF emission, which most people may be familiar with from all the, you know, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, internet, you know, cell phone, all that stuff, which is, again, we're inundating our bodies with this modern lifestyle, new technology, which is great, but it does come at a certain sacrifice to our bodies at the cellular level with all this EMF emission. And so it perplexed me that some of these, you know, more popular red light therapy companies are integrating Bluetooth and Wi-Fi into their red light therapy panels. They have their own reasons, but it seems like, you know, why would you integrate this, you know, negative side effect for your body when you're trying to improve your health and wellness with this red and near infrared light?
Very true. So for the consumer, look for the wavelength of light, the flicker rate, does it emit EMF, and you know, the credibility of the company, of course. And with this device, for those of you listening, I'm holding my red light on my face right now. It feels very soothing, actually. When you turn it on, you almost feel like you're basking in the glow of the sun. It's quite bright. Would you be able to like hold this and do work, you think? sitting at my EMF emitting blue light computer with red light.
Well, that's a good point, actually. So when I'm working, if I have to be on my computer, especially at night, I will use the product you have, the Shine. I'll put it on the stand and I'll put it right next to my laptop screen, and I'll have the light directed so it's not, you know, right at my eyes, but it is going to negate the negative effects of blue light, especially at night, because blue light raises your cortisol levels, inhibits your melatonin production. So especially at night, that's not a good thing to be doing.
So the correct way to use your BioLite would be turn it on and kind of bask in the glow of it. How many times would you do that in a day, or for how many minutes is necessary to get the health benefits when you're using red light?
To get, you know, just for general health and wellness, you only need to use it for about, you know, 10 to 20 minutes. If you're really under the weather or recovering from an injury, maybe upwards of 30. I even have some customers that have told me they've used it, you know, 45 minutes up to an hour if they're recovering from like a major surgery or injury. But in general, you know, 10 to 20 minutes most days of the week, you're going to get overall, you know, again, reduced inflammation, improved circulation, optimizing the health of the mitochondria. But if you're going for a specific benefit, like we've talked about skin health versus, let's say, reducing anxiety, depression, those are two completely different protocols, which I think I sent you the ebook that I have developed, which is completely based off the current research. So for example, for
amazing. Amazing. That was very dense with research literature, and it's very, very good science behind it.
But just for example, comparing those two protocols, if you're going for anti-aging, you know, reduced wrinkles, just overall skin health, improving, you know, collagen and elastin production, you want red light only, because again, red light's not going to penetrate any deeper than the skin. It treats just the skin layer. You'd want that at about 12 to 18 inches away, and do that for 1 to 3 minutes. So very low dosage. Mm-hmm. Compare that to reducing anxiety, depression. You want near infrared only, because it penetrates deeper. Put it up towards your skull, and the research shows that the right frontal lobe may be more beneficial. But then you want that at about 6 inches away. Do that for 7 to 10 minutes. So if you're going for those two different health and wellness benefits, you can see how the protocols can vary greatly.
And for depression and anxiety, that would improve blood flow to your brain and reduce reactive oxygen species. And you actually get enhanced serotonin, which is great for depression patients, and increased decreases your nitric oxide, which is, you know, a negative reactive ion. So I think that's very interesting that it can boost serotonin. So my listeners are definitely interested in skin health and hair health. So talk about red light therapy in terms of hair fall, because this pandemic has caused an epidemic of hair shedding, thinning, stress-induced hair fall. So how can we use red light therapy to boost our follicles?
So the research is showing that red and near infrared light, some research uses red, some uses near infrared, some use the combination. So I would suggest using the combination. And what red light therapy does is it prolongs the growth phase of, you know, the hair cycle, hair follicle cycle, and it can potentially even reverse it in the stage where it's fallen out or it's losing its circulation, which is keeping it healthy. Mm-hmm. So again, you're going to prolong the health phase, reverse or mitigate the phase where it's fallen out. And so not only that, but you're improving the size of the hair follicle or the hair itself. So again, it really comes down to what we talked about earlier, which is you're going to reduce inflammation, which is, if you're constantly inflamed, especially around the hair follicles, it's more likely to be brittle, fall out, go into that telogen phase, which is the phase where the hair starts losing its circulation and falling out. And then again, improving circulation, which I think is the big one for hair as well. So, but just by mitigating or reversing those two issues, reducing inflammation, improving circulation, you're not only going to have more hair, it's going to be healthier, more robust, and you're going to have less falling out, because it's going to be keeping that circulation and not falling out.
Yeah, some studies have even shown like up to 20% more hair thickening or growth, but these processes take time. You'd have to use it for 3 to 4 months, I think, consistently to see that change in the transition from more less telogen phase and more anagen or growth phase, right?
So hair is one of those ones that does take longer. Whereas, you know, one of the issues that is improved the quickest is skin health, which I'm sure your listeners would be glad to hear. But you can see improvements within the first week of using it consistently with the right dosage.
And what kind of things would they notice about their skin using it weekly for 3 or 5 minutes a day?
Be more plump, more colorful. You might even see a slight reduction like wrinkles or sunspots or these age spots. It's just going to look more healthy and robust. And so cellulite probably take a little longer. Some of these hypertrophic scars, that's going to take a little longer. And actually, hypertrophic scars necessitates near infrared only. That's the only skin issue that you need near infrared, just because it's so thick and it requires a little more dosage. But yeah, it doesn't take long to see those quick results with skin health.
With the skin, you'll get increased collagen synthesis and more fibroblasts forming, building a better foundational layer of the skin. And does it improve, would you say, breakouts or pigmentation at all?
Oh, what do you mean by pigmentation? Just like color?
Yeah, dark spots or, you know, excess melasma.
So there is research showing it does improve. It's not, the research isn't as robust as, let's say, reducing wrinkles. And then I get a lot of questions about vitiligo. That's another tough one that there's some research showing it may help. There's some case studies, but the research right now isn't as robust, you know, as for me to develop a protocol even. So, while there may be benefit, that's not like its most powerful use.
Yeah, I think the best use is the increased circulation to that top layer of the skin. So you do get that more glowy, fresher, better, denser skin. So I think that's impressive. For joints and for tendon pain or, you know, an injury in a joint, you'd apply the red light therapy for like 30 minutes and daily, and that would be enough to see improvements in pain and movement.
Again, it depends. Is it a young person that just sprained their ankle? Is it a older person with, you know, chronic osteoarthritis? So it really does depend. I mean, there's such a wide spectrum of how quickly will it treat it, how much dosage does it take? But in general, yeah, if you're trying to treat something deeper, something like joint pain, it could take a month or two before you realize benefits. Although I just talked with a customer earlier this week, she had been in a motor vehicle accident, and she's the one that's using it upwards of 60 minutes every day, if not more. And she's got the Restore, which is the panel that's about 3 feet tall. But she was seeing results right away, whether it was along her spine, headaches, migraines. And she had kind of a before and after where she was doing a lot of things, physical therapy, medication, stuff like this, wasn't seeing a lot of results. And then she implemented BioLite, and her pain was like almost instantaneous. She says she couldn't believe it. Same thing with her spine, same thing with some of her joints. So it can be relatively a spontaneous improvement in or reduction in pain. Again, she was on it more quickly, right after her injury, whereas people with chronic OA, that can take, you know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months before you realize those benefits. But with consistent use, you will see improvements.
So OA, for everybody listening, osteoarthritis. And then talk a little bit about how you founded this device. This is, you know, fascinating that you're very entrepreneurial as a physical therapist to develop a device and a panel and really put the science behind it. What was that process like?
For me, it was just, again, reading that book, seeing what the research and the potential was for, you know, treating non-invasive, very effective, very safe. And then when I went to see what the market had to offer, it was either very expensive devices that it's like, I don't know if the price is really necessitated, you know, based on their quality. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, very cheap. Priced products, but then again, you're paying for what you're getting there. You know, smaller devices, maybe not a lot of power, who knows about the safety.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really this middle ground of, can we have something that's, you know, more affordable. It's still an investment, but more affordable and higher quality. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I kind of set out to do a year and a half ago.
How did you find a manufacturer to help you build this and design it and make it so cute and portable? It's quite easy to use because I've seen some that are really cumbersome.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too difficult to, you know, hook up with an engineering team that was able to, you know, understand what I was going for. Reduced flicker rate. We don't need Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. How can we get the light irradiance up, you know, for more power, for better penetration and all that stuff. So it really wasn't that difficult, to be honest, to, you know, put all these pieces of the puzzle together. The real interesting engineering part, especially with the one you have, the Shine, is being able to have LEDs that can do both red and near infrared. Because on our panels, the LEDs can only do one or the other. So you can turn on red, and some of the red, you know, bulbs will turn on. And then if you want just near infrared, other bulbs will turn on. But the device you have, every single LED has a potential or the capability to do both red and near infrared. So that's some pretty slick engineering.
What are the specific conditions where you'd use the near infrared only?
For near infrared only, stuff like the brain, where you have to get deep. The brain, joint, bones, because you kind of waste energy or a dose to use in red light, because again, that's only going to stimulate the skin, and you don't necessarily want that. An important thing to understand with red light therapy is there's this concept called the biphasic dose response, where it's kind of like a bell curve, and on one side, on the left side, if the dosage is too low, you're not going to get the results you're looking for. On the other side of that bell curve, on the right side, is where the dosage is too much, and I think that's where most people are, because we're in this mentality that more is better, more is better. Mm-hmm. And I kind of outlined that in the protocol ebook I developed. So that's why I developed the protocols, because I think some people are going to be surprised at how little or how short of a, you know, duration that they have to treat. But it's all about the light dosage or joules of energy your body's absorbing. And so if you're trying to treat the brain or the joints or the bone, you don't want to waste joules of energy on your skin layer when you're trying to treat deeper tissues like that. So really, anytime you're trying to treat something deep, you want near infrared only.
Would you say that you can lose a substantial amount of fat? I know that there are applications for fat loss. It's difficult to lose stubborn fat because fat becomes dense and has poor blood circulation over time, and even resistant to insulin. So I think, you know, generating some infrared and near infrared wakes up those fat cells and helps them to start triggering the release of fat. How much fat actually can you expect to lose if you're using this directed near infrared light?
I mean, I'm not going to say that this is the end all be all, like you're just going to, you know, shed the fat. If you use it in tandem with exercise, you're going to get a synergistic effect. Whereas if you did just exercise or just red light, the results aren't going to be nearly, you know, as beneficial, but synergistically it works very well. Yeah. Like you alluded to, the fat cells typically don't have good circulation. So being able to liberate it, get better circulation, get it into the bloodstream, use it as energy.
Any like really awesome, you know, treatments where you have that one patch of stubborn resistant fat that can slim down a bit? Or is it just more of an overall?
No, not specifically. And I don't really know if you can spot treat even with red or near infrared light. Again, there's some anecdotal or there's some case studies where, you know, potentially that's the case. But I wouldn't go as far as to say is do red light therapy for spot fat reduction.
Can you think of future applications that are going to hopefully be discovered? I know that, for example, autoimmune thyroid disease benefits from red light therapy. Is there research on the forefront that is exciting?
Well, you know, outside of these types of devices, implantable devices like near infrared specifically to treat issues that are deeper in the brain, like near the hippocampus, the brainstem, because the devices that I offer, while they have high light irradiance, they're not going to penetrate deep enough to get, you know, close to the brainstem or those tissues deeper in the brain. So that's a pretty interesting place on the horizon potentially. And then ingestibles I've seen where you ingest a capsule, so that light travels all through your stomach and your intestines,
gets pooped out, hopefully. Like they do the colonoscopy pills that travel through you with a camera. So same thing, like gives you that healthy glow on the inside. That's such a great idea. Actually, I wonder what that would do for irritable bowel patients and colitis. I bet that would be so healing. Actually.
Absolutely, because again, you're going to improve the energy production. That's another thing we haven't talked about, but improving the energy production, which allows you to carry out just cellular functions, but then regenerate, build, and then just be more resilient when you have these stresses put upon you, whether it's immune system or mental, physical stress.
That's so interesting. I spoke to one other person who's interested in light therapy, and he spoke about the body as having, our mitochondria are almost the same as, you know, in plants, how you have your photosynthesis ability. It's almost like humans photosynthesize and respond to light in the same way that plants do with chlorophyll. Now, what do you think about that idea?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I have no doubt about that. Whereas plants are in the ground, they're constantly, tied into the magnetic flux of the earth. We're walking on top of it. So that's where this concept of grounding, you know, walking around barefoot, being out in nature, is super important for us. And then, of course, getting the correct light exposure. So whereas plants don't require as much quote unquote food, they can, you know, create their own food from light because they're always tied into the magnetic flux. We require more food, which ultimately is another source of light, you know, just electrons. That's all that food is electrons. That's all light is. It's electrons. And so whereas we can't photosynthesize to the degree that plants can, absolutely that we create energy. And if we get the correct amount of light exposure, you could argue that you would require less food. You could eat less food and be perfectly fine because you're getting more light and energy from natural sunlight.
Yeah, it's so interesting. The evolutionary process has probably given us that little internal battery that needs charging with our mitochondria.
What do you think of these infrared tents that I see people sitting in?
That's a question I get a lot is, what's the difference between infrared saunas and red light therapy? Like, which one should I use? Mm-hmm. And so saunas use typically mid to far infrared, which are longer wavelengths, so they penetrate deeper. So they're, you know, fantastic for detox and sweating and cardiovascular benefits. But those wavelengths don't stimulate the mitochondria. But near infrared and red light does. So they're two completely separate health and wellness benefits. It's like apples and oranges. You don't want to choose one of them. You want to utilize both if you can. So, I mean, I have a barrel sauna, you know, outside here where I live. So I use the infrared. It runs on electric heat, but I use a sauna as much as I can, especially during the winter up here in Montana.
You look like you're very rustic out there. But so what else do you do in terms of biohacking? So you talked about grounding. I love that idea of grounding, and I do that quite often just whenever I'm home. Yeah. Out in the garden.
Yeah, I live out here right on the river. So every morning that I can, I get outside as the sun's coming up from, you know, the sunrise, barefoot, looking towards the sun. Same thing in the evening if I can. So I'm just as consistent with those two things as possible. I do take some supplements, but I'm not as big or dependent on them as I used to be. The more I read, the more I learn, the greater respect I really have for the power of light. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Jack Cruz. Mm-mm. He is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to light. And so he's one proponent. He has a lot of podcasts that he's been interviewed on, but he's one proponent that he doesn't really care what you eat. He doesn't care about your diet. As long as you have your light environment correct, that's what needs to be optimized, not your diet. So he's a pretty interesting cat, but other biohacks. So, I mean, blue blockers, red light therapy, the hyperbaric chamber, which I recently got from my practice. But again, that has a myriad of health and wellness benefits too.
Are you using intermittent fasting? Do you do hyperbaric therapy yourself? You do?
Yep. It kind of ebbs and flows anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 times a week, like a 60-minute session. And I typically do it with my mom because she's been dealing with a lot of health issues. She was a pharmacist, so she was constantly inundated with blue light, basement, so like never out in the environment, right under the radiation room. So for 37 years in a hospital, she was just surrounded by a very poor environment. And then she's having all this dental work done to remove mercury amalgams and all that stuff. So she's been working with a holistic dentist. So I've been getting her in the hyperbaric as much as possible. And you can fit two people in there comfortably. So whenever she's doing it, I just do it with her.
Is that not bad to generate so much reactive oxygen species? And I don't know. What I've heard mixed reviews.
About hyperbaric?
Yeah. I mean, to be in that high density of oxygen for over so much time, isn't that oxidative damage eventually going to build up?
Not that I've read, at least in the research or the book that I have.
You know, like they talk about premature babies getting retinopathy because they're getting high flow oxygen for a long time. And it's you know, oxygen is able to oxidize. Just curious.
If you slept in there like some people do,
the short term,
or if you're in there for 2 to 3 to 4 hours like every single day. But from what I've read, like doing an hour session almost daily is quite beneficial. It's an anti-aging, you know, biohack. So that's just from what I read, but I understand what you're saying as well, kind of like along the lines of red light therapy, where if you do it way too much, way too often, and you're building all this, you know, generating all this ATP production. Well, a side effect of ATP production is ROS production too. So of course you don't want too much of that. But from what I've read, as far as hyperbaric, the way, especially my mom or my, I'm doing it with patients. Patients don't do it that frequently.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you do intermittent fasting. Are you doing like cold water plunges?
Oh, yeah. That river out there. I'll do it in the middle of December, January, which my wife thinks I'm crazy, which I probably am. But I'll do that for, when I started, I couldn't do it for 15 seconds, of course, because it was, that's
really cold
water. Yeah. That's runoff from the mountains over here. So, but then I got to the point a couple of months later where I could do it for 2 or 3 minutes, you know, up to my neck. So yeah, cold water immersion. What else? Oh, and back to the hyperbaric. For a lot of things, if you're trying to treat, especially like concussions, Alzheimer's, because it's really good for the brain.
Yeah.
You want to do at least 40 sessions before you see real results. And from what I've read, if you continue to see results, you continue to do it. Mm-hmm. So in the books or whatever I've been reading, people are doing 40 sessions, 60, 80, 100 sessions, or they'll do it over the span of 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Well, they'll just keep doing it because they keep seeing benefits. Mm. But again, that's a good point about the reactive oxygen species.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about like cancer and tumor cells growing faster in the presence of high oxygen. And I don't know. I just ask because I'm trying to learn for my own self, of course, and my patients. Mm-hmm. But any supplements that you think are essential? Are you doing turmeric, vitamin C?
Yeah. That's my big one, is like curcumin. Curcumin and a couple of supplements from Quiksilver that are kind of mitochondrial focused. So the big one is, one's like an AMP-K, and then one is called The One, which is for the mitochondria. So it has like resveratrol, quercetin, stuff like that.
And what's another one? Maybe.
Oh, astaxanthin's every single day. So those are the big ones. Yeah, it's the curcumin, astaxanthin. One with all these organs in it, you know, like spleen, kidney, liver, heart, and then spirulina. Kind of like along the lines. There's actually research showing if humans consume more greens and so they're able to obtain more chlorophyll, you're actually able to capture more light energy, just like a plant.
Really? Why eat the, why the organ one? With the liver and the...
Because you're just getting all these micronutrients. Because even if you're eating a vegetable-rich or a plant-rich diet, especially with the soil, the modern-day soil, it's lacking so many of these micronutrients that stuff, especially like the liver and the spleen, are just very micronutrient-dense that you can't get from eating even like pounds and pounds of vegetables every day. So it's just kind of a hack, and I got that from Ben Greenfield, if you're familiar with him.
I'm going to interview him.
Eating organs.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Interesting.
He is an absolute wealth of knowledge.
That's cool. I love the idea of having spirulina and being more like a plant. Are you plant-based diet?
No, not necessarily. I've kind of gone through different iterations as I've read and learned. Years and years ago, I was really into keto. But then listening to Ben Greenfield and others, it's like, that's not the end all be all. You kind of want to go in and out, seasonal eating, kind of eat with the seasons, eat with what's around you. Like, why would you eat a banana on December 21st if you can't grow, we can't grow bananas in Montana. So why would you eat it in the middle of December? Just it's a mismatch to the biology for where you live. So just eating with what's around you seasonally. Like I said, I'll do intermittent fasting. So 12 to 15 hours, most days I'll have a period where I don't eat.
Interesting. How about hormonally? Are you doing anything in terms of like, you know, women maintain, men are doing testosterone shots or HCG or other things like that?
No, I haven't gone to that point yet. Or like the peptide thing, you know, there seems to be this big push on, you know, peptides and injectables like that. But no, I mean, it all comes down to me for the light. And really, I've listened to, 20, 40 hours of Jack Cruz. Again, Jack Cruz is the dots he connects through science and just through other things is amazing. So really, that's where I've gone to like minimalist supplements and adjuvants and like this external, need for things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas again, the grounding, sunlight, CT, you know, cryotherapy or cold thermogenesis, if you've got those things locked in, there's a less and less need for like these supplements or, because if you do those things correctly, if you get your environment correct, your hormones and your inflammation and your mitochondria, they're going to be optimized where you shouldn't need that stuff. And you should be able to run on your endogenous systems. So that's kind of where I'm headed. It's kind of more of a minimalist, you know, get the diet locked in, get the circadian rhythm and sleep locked in, but then get the light environment, grounding and water, and cold thermogenesis locked in. And I think the rest kind of takes care of itself in the long run.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe some rare earth minerals or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That might be good too. Rare earth minerals.
Yeah.
And then blue light or EMF blockers. Are you into that?
Yeah, I actually have like some of these products. I forget what brand this is, but it's like a hologram chip thing where, apparently this will protect me from EMFs within a 15-foot radius just because of, what's the effect called?
Just the light scatter or the...
Yeah, it's supposed to kind of like scramble the EMFs and kind of match it with my frequency, if you will, instead of the EMF coming in and destroying it.
Would you ever do any kind of cosmetic treatment? Botox or fillers or facial maintenance?
I mean, it definitely wouldn't be at the top of my list. I have nothing against it, but it's just like, not right now, or I just don't know if I would have a need. It's not like I'm working in Hollywood or, you know, I'm a model or anything where like I need to upkeep my face or whatever to that degree. But
to some extent, no matter how much we take in good nutrients and whatnot, we're going to get, you know, facial atrophy from fat loss and muscle change and osteoporosis and actually bone density change, I think, is a huge thing. I want to learn more about how the facial skeleton and the skeleton in general remodels. So, it's interesting, the aging process. I definitely want to send you some of our skincare to try. I don't know what you're using for good skin, but I have an amazing 20% vitamin C serum that's great for antioxidant protection, and a hyaluronic acid serum that's awesome to just replenish moisture.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be amazing.
Well, it's so fascinating talking to you, and I'm hoping all of my patients and listeners out there are going to try some red light therapy. I personally love it, and I use it for hair, and I love it for the skin. I'm enjoying using your BioLite. I think it's such a convenient and easy-to-use device. It's something we should all incorporate into our regimens. So thanks so much for joining us today. Where can our clients and listeners find you if they're interested to find out more about BioLite and red light?
www.biolite.shop. Our most active social media is on Instagram, which is biolight.shop. So we post a lot of just red light therapy information, education, you know, product information. And I'm always scouring the research, you know, on a pretty regular basis. So I'm always reporting on what's the newest, greatest, you know, piece of research on red light therapy, whether it's, you know, reporting it, you know, good things, or it's saying, hey, red light therapy does not work for this. So I think it's just important right now in the relatively early stages of red light therapy, you know, coming to the public awareness, that it's education. People understand what they can use it for, how it's useful. And like you said, everyone can benefit from it in some way, because red light therapy has so many potential uses.
Excellent. I encourage all you guys to check this out. This is technology that is really easy to use and is definitely life-changing. It's photobiomodulation. It's a fancy way of saying turning on your mitochondria and your energy. And if you use the right wavelength, you're going to glow. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram, doing amazing things with people's. Let me say that again. Sorry. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram, doing amazing things with people's faces, at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find all of our lovely antioxidant products to help neutralize all those free radicals on top of using your red light. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.